All right, there we go. It was beautiful. Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on behalf of the session and the staff and all the members. We'd just like to welcome you to Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and we're glad that you're here with us. A couple of announcements before we get started. Please remember the wearing of a face mask is highly encouraged when inside on the campus of Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church. You should also have received a pamphlet this morning with information on our Presbyterian Church USA Global Peace and Global Witness offering. This shines the light to those in the shadows and guides us all in the ways of peace. So if you'd like to give money to that designated offering, make sure that you put or use the envelope that I have shown you. Cook's Property Ministry will meet this Thursday, October 7th at 7 p.m. in room 113. Mark your calendars. The men of the church, the Presbyterian women, and the Cub and Boy Scouts will be hosting our annual Fall Festival. This year, it will take place on October 30th, the day before Halloween. We would love to receive your donation of individually wrapped bags of candy now through Sunday, October 24th. Unfortunately, as another announcement, due to COVID issues, Operation North State, the October Veterans Collection, has been canceled for this year. Just please know that ahead of time. A couple of things that are starting, that really started last week, that I want to bring you up to speed on. Number one, I'm looking for a more inspired name than this, but I've started something called the Bible Boot Camp. Now, Bible Boot Camp is a little different than most Bible studies that you've probably been in. Bible Boot Camp is designed not to get you to memorize the books of the Bible, although that's handy. It really is instead of a complete approach. There are, in fact, foundational elements to the faith that we can read in Scripture. There's the supporting beams that are going to carry the weight, not only of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but also the church's role in the world. We're going to be looking at those passages, those parts of the Bible very clearly with one aim. We're going to erect the loose structure for you to go in and fill in the rest. But if you are not confident on your Bible, then this is a good opportunity. I began it with the elders, and we're going to open it up to others as well. There is much more information on this on the website. I would encourage you to either read that or to look at the newsletter that Cheryl sent out. Also, I'm in week two of a kind of an open-ended sermon series that kind of strangely called Three Pennies in a Rock. Last week, I told the story of where that came from. I'll do it again briefly today. This is a book project that I've been working on some time, and I'm finding that the preaching, it makes me outline the things, and then I can go and write the chapters a little bit more directly than following. And so I would like your help. That's a long-winded way of saying help me. I'm going to put up each chapter as it comes off my computer, so it will not be rough. It will not be proofread professionally. But if you take the time and read it, I would appreciate it a lot. But on top of that, if you would take the time, read it and provide me any feedback, I'd appreciate that, good or bad. Good or bad, and there may be a lot more bad than good. So we'll have to see. Those are the announcements that I have this morning, with the exception of noting that the beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this Sunday are in memory of Curtis Thompson, Melva and T.C. Thompson, and Jack Crosby from Pam and Marty Crosby and their families. Thank you. They're beautiful. That being the announcements that I have, are there any announcements that need to be brought before? Yes, James.
Morning.
Morning, James.
That you've had for Pauline and myself through this hard time. She's doing pretty good. Like I told her, we're still together and love each other. And it's disease brings new things to your life. But with the Lord's help, we always get through it. That's the only way to get through it. I just want to say thank you.
Thanks, James. Any other announcements? Yes.
You know, he was the best kid in the world, and all y'all were lucky to be with him. Grandma asked me to come here today and say to y'all that she wanted to say thank you for everything that y'all did and all the love and support that she's gotten through everything. It's just really been moving for her, you know, because it's been hard for her, and she has a strong faith in God. And like she said, she just wants everybody to come together and love each other, and it's opened her mind. And I just want to say thank you personally as a friend to them, and I just want to say thank you on their behalf, too.
Thank you, Will. Any other announcements? Okay, that being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of the Lord, and we will begin with our call to worship.
God has ascended amid shouts of joy. The Lord amid the surroundings of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
Sing praises to our King. Sing praises.
For our God is the King of all the earth.
Sing your praises every moment of our lives.
Let us pray. God of all glory, your first day began when you imagined creation and you brought light out of darkness. On this, your first day, you begin your new creation, raising Jesus Christ out of the darkness of death. On this Lord's Day, grant that we, the people you create by water and spirit, might be joined in all our works of praising to you and for your great glory. We make all these prayers hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. I invite you to rise now and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 65. Would not be very entertaining. Make a joyful noise. Bev, I've got that down, right? My kids know. One time I did this thing with my microphone at another church where the folks in the sanctuary, the folks that couldn't be in the sanctuary were in another room, so the only audio they had was what was provided from the sanctuary, and I had one simple job, toggle it on and off, except I did it wrong. And so the only times they could hear me was when I was singing. And they couldn't hear me at all when I was talking, which may in fact be a good paradigm for me. We'll have to see here in a minute. Let's move forward with the service, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. If y'all, let's stay standing. We're just going to imagine we've completed this great hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And feeling the Holy Spirit, we come into the fact that we're not perfect. That God has, in fact, declared the truth to us is that we're fallen, and we've fallen short of His glory, and thus we are in sin at times in our life. It's as unavoidable as death and taxes and yet another superhero movie. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible does not leave us only with the awareness of our sinfulness, but instead shows us very clearly and very perfectly that Jesus Christ has forgiven us. And that our part of the deal, having had the forgiveness already shared, is to be aware, self-aware, that we fall short. We live that out through our repentance. We live that out corporately through our prayer of confession, which you'll find in this morning's bulletin, which we'll share together, allowing time at the end for a personal confession, silently, inwardly, that you would make to God. So join me now as we come into a prayer of confession. Almighty God, we acknowledge and confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Deepen within us our sorrow for the wrong we have done and the good we have left undone. Lord, you are full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. There is always forgiveness with you. Restore us to the joy of your salvation. Bind up that which is broken. Give light to our minds, strength to our wills, and rest to our soul. Speak to each of us, and let your word abide with us until it has wrought in us your holy will. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we are assured one great and glorious truth, that whatever sin that we have or will accumulate is ultimately washed away by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the font, we embrace the reality as it has stood since before the foundations of the earth. We are the beloved children of God who receive his forgiveness without merit, and we do so because of what his Son has done for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. We mentioned last week that we would start again reaffirming our faith. And so our affirmation of faith today is an ancient one. It's the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to join me with it in its recitation, and the words are in the bulletin this morning. Join me now. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of hymn number 319.
Strong when you feel weak.
At this point, we'd like to invite the children to come down and have seats on the crosses here for a special time as we celebrate World Communion Sunday.
Hey guys. Hey. Good morning. Does anybody know what today is? This is like my favorite Sunday of the year.
Communion Sunday.
Thank you, Aiden. I was hoping someone would say that. Have you caught on that every time I come up here, I say, this is my favorite Sunday of the year? But this truly might be. Because I think it's cool that all the people around the world, how do you like my earth? It's a beach globe. are having communion. No. All the people around the world are having communion. Communion. Okay, well, let's go with Communion 101 real quick. When Jesus died and he had the Last Supper, then he gave bread and he broke bread, and Jason will do this in a little bit.
And then he did the wine thing,
yeah. Okay, and the bread is symbolizes his body, and the juice is in wine, and Jason, jump in here if I really mess it up. And so when you take communion, we do this to remember that Jesus is a part of us, that God is a part of us, and we are children of God.
I know, but why do they call it communion?
Greek and Hebrew, maybe? I don't know.
Well, communion is the word used because it brings us into a special place in our relationship with God.
At the table, Aiden, what we find is a distillation of God's forgiveness and love and his call to go out into the world. So as we taste and see that the Lord is good, what we're doing and experience is God on a different level. That's why we celebrate the two sacraments in this church, both the Lord's table and baptism. They're special times by which we believe that God shows us a visible sign, meaning something we can see, like the water we put on a baby's head or the bread and the juice that we're going to eat today. That's visible, but we believe it shows forth something that's invisible, which is the love and grace of God.
Thank you. I was going to make up a Latin word and tell you it meant together. So that was good.
But yours was right on the thing in a lot less verbs.
Okay. So, but thank you for asking. Because we need to know that. We do it all the time, and we don't know why. But now we do. Okay? Cool. Thank you. Thank you for asking. So anyway, World Communion is for all Christians, people who believe in Jesus, have it on the first Sunday of October. Now, we're here on the world, and people all over this world, even in Kenya. We have some friends in Kenya right now, or almost in Kenya, Miss Petey and Miss Gay. And they'll have bread somewhat like this one. This is, well, it's naan, but in Kenya they'll fry it and have a different name for it. So we've got all sorts of... kind of, maybe? Now, I do have some tortillas down here made of corn, and you would find those in Latin America or somewhere like that. And let's see. Can you find Latin America on my beach ball? And then I've got some pita, which we'll actually be eating as our communion bread, and that would be in the Middle East.
If you're looking for the Americans, you're looking at the
Yeah. It's like below us, like right here where your hand is. And in Central America, too. Perhaps, yeah. We think more of Mexican, but that's good. Okay. Ben, will you put this on the table? The communion table. Just anywhere. This is called challah. And this, really, they eat it in Poland, but it comes from from Israel is the word. So they'll be eating that. Silas, will you put that in the middle of the table for me? Okay. Anybody else want to find a country? This is a baguette like you would find in maybe France, which is Europe. You've had an American, well, this is probably an American food line baguette. Would you put that on the table for me? And this is Italian bread from anybody?
Italy.
Italy.
I don't know what Italy bread looks like. Just
well,
like
this is toasted bread. It's real crunchy. Lil? Ethan?
I'm pretty sure we've actually had this bread.
You probably have. Mm-hmm. You've probably eaten a lot of these breads. So,
I don't think I've ever eaten like the Mexican
tortillas.
or the Italian bread.
Oh, okay. Well, take it home and enjoy it. So they're eating different breads in the world, and today we will think about everybody in the world and pray for peace, because that is very important, that we have peace in Christ and that we can do work around the world like Petey and Gay will be doing in Kenya this week. Okay? Yeah.
Like, so, place where there's not a lot of food or water or clothing.
In some areas.
Yeah.
That's everywhere. Okay. So, when we say the Lord's Prayer, does anybody know what we say? About in the middle, give us this day.
Give us this daily bread.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Why do you think we say that?
Because of communion.
Yeah, to remind us of communion, but also it means that God gives us everything we need to remind us of that. Okay, you want to say a prayer?
I was going to say one of the prayer things I was going to pray about in my head. But.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. But let's all say this, okay? Dear God, thank you for today. Because we can share communion with brothers and sisters around the world. Let it be a table of peace. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
come now into a time of the reading and proclamation of God's Word, expecting it to change us, to move us into a new state of being. And before we begin, we always lift up to God a prayer for illumination. Join me. Heavenly Father, we just pray that in this reading and proclamation of your holy and everlasting Word, that you would stir by the power of your Holy Spirit deeply within us, Heavenly Father. We pray that the strong knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he'd done for us and for our salvation would be made clear. So too, Heavenly Father, in that same clarity, we pray that your word would remind us that we're under obligation, that we're ourselves debtors, but debtors to you, which means that we have received your grace and now we have received your calling to make disciples of all the world. Let us hear those truths as we come into this time, celebrating your heavenly word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I will be reading from Proverbs 3, 13 through 24. It's on page 627 in the Pew Bible. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain for her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast are called blessed. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet.
We continue today a sermon series that I started last week, and I began it with a story, as I often do, from my own life. And the story, very briefly, that I told last week was on a particular day going to pick up my children who were in kindergarten and second grade at the time. I saw my daughter from afar, and she was absolutely just overjoyed. You could tell from a distance as you saw her. When she opened the door, she declared as loudly as she could, "Dad, today I had the best day ever," which was a wonderful thing to hear for any father or any parent for that matter. And then I wanted to find out why. And the why, as she would now then visibly show me, occurred when she thrust her little dirty hand forward and opened it up. She said, "Today is the best day ever because on the playground I found 3 pennies in a rock." And I thought, this is wonderful. This is why I want to be a kid again. You know, I talk about this all the time. I mean, I was probably more heartbroken than my kids when Toys R Us closed, right? And they were pretty sad. The thing is, what happens to us is that we lose the thread on that enjoyment, that zest, that joie de vivre, if you will, that we as children of God who are experiencing this great and glorious creation could in fact be experiencing on a continual, ongoing basis. I'm convinced of it. But what stands in our way is often the adult in us, the one that keeps us from looking at the world in wonder, is what we talked about last week. The intent of this sermon series is very clearly to bring us to a childlike faith. Jesus, in the passage I'm about to read, is going to instruct us in that as the means by which we enter into the kingdom of heaven, if the ability to become more like children in our faith. We need to look at children and see what they do naturally, see what we have to socialize out of them, because I believe that extracts for us the kind of faith that God calls us to have through Jesus Christ. Here in the reading from the Gospel of Matthew, today I'm going to read chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. Hear now the word of our Lord. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives heaven, or receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for them to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it was many, many years ago, but there was a lot of buzz around a particular movie. It was a particular movie that people were just gushing over to me. And the words that I was hearing time and time again was funny. "Oh, this is the funniest movie," I thought I heard people say. "Oh my gosh, this thing, I laugh so much, it's very funny." That's what I heard over and over again. Well, the day finally came when my curiosity was piqued so greatly that I convinced a couple of my friends to come see for the very first time with me My Big Fat Greek Wedding. All right? Now remember, y'all, I went in there thinking this was the funniest movie ever, which for me would put it on a plateau with like Animal House and Caddyshack and Stripes, right? And so the thing is, I went in curious, but loaded with some high expectations. I was disappointed, y'all. It wasn't the funniest movie I'd ever seen. And I think that that story and the way that people so wonderfully endorsed it, it made me just a little bit more cautious, a little bit more skeptical when I heard the words, "This is the greatest thing ever." And I think that's just the natural course of adult life. We get our hopes so high for so many things, and then we find out that it's not as good as we hoped, and in fact, it is nothing like the saving power that we thought it would have. You see, over the passage of time, what we find is that we lose the thread on that childlike wonder in the same way that we lose that childlike sense of curiosity. Wonder often is the thing that initiates it. A kid looks at the sky and is stunned by the color. And what's their first question? "Why is the sky blue, Daddy?" We, however, look up at the sky really to determine whether we need to take an umbrella or not. And in that process, a kid is better equipped to experience the wonder of God than we are. And because the kid is more able to experience the wonder of God, they're also going to get a lot more curious. Have you ever seen a curious kid? Well, of course you have. In fact, one of the greatest gifts I think Natalie and I ever received was a friend of ours who had a daughter about 8 months older, had aged out of this thing that Natalie and I lovingly called baby jail. Now, baby jail was a series of plastic enclosures, fences, with a door that you could kind of create a space. Now, why did we need to create that space? Well, because our kids were curious, and if we left them unconfined, living in a three-level home, they would have likely taken a tumble down the stairs. We wanted the kid to be curious. We just wanted it to be curious within a certain field. But the fact of the matter is that most of us have lost that thread on curiosity. Most of us have just simply accepted things as they are and really haven't done much to alter the paradigm. You see, toddlers and young kids' curiosity keeps them engaged in the process of learning. And so when we stop asking questions, when we stop wondering why things are the way they are, then we ultimately, slowly, over time, really lose any interest in a lot of different things. If we really look at it, our curiosity is dulled by two very important things, and we shouldn't miss that they're sin. At some level, our curiosity is inhibited by our sloth. We talked about that last week. Sloth, apathy, this sense that nothing really needs to get done, and if it does, I'm the last one that should have to do it because I don't really care. That's a kind of an apathetic or a negative way to look at the world, and it happens to us. We get burned a couple of times. We hear My Big Fat Greek Wedding is going to be the riot of this century, and it turns out not to be. You see, we get disappointed, and in our disappointment, we get apathetic. We don't do much. So that's one source of where our curiosity gets killed. It's not a cat, it's us, right? The second spot in which we can very clearly see that curiosity gets killed is when we continue to do, we continue to accept other people's answers for difficult things. You know, there's an interesting effect, and it's one we shouldn't miss because it signals that we're not as curious as we could be. And in fact, we're going to take a lot of things as given. There's a well-studied psychological effect called the Milgram effect. Now, Milgram was a social psychologist, and really what he did was set up an experiment that tested our ability to yield, or our inclination. He came up with a way to test our inclination toward deferring to authority, right? And I won't go into the details. It's fascinating, the Milgram effect. You can look it up online. Remember, the thing is, he was going to test how people acted in the presence of what they thought was an authority. Well, they did what the authority told them to nearly 8 times out of 10. The problem was what the authority was telling them to do in this example was, in this experiment, was to hurt people gently on an increasing scale. That is to say, in the presence of an authority figure, you will do things that you might not normally, unless you're curious. Unless you say, okay, Pastor Jason, I get that you have, and I'm not wearing it, thanks be to God, it's really hot. I wear a robe, and you know, some of my colleagues that have doctorates are going to put those neat stripes on it. Man, they look good. Well, what that makes and sets up for us is a Milgram effect, if you're not curious. A person from this position, the bully pulpit, can say whatever they want, and unless there is somebody checking it, you're going to defer to it, and you're going to follow it. That's a known psychological reaction. If you don't think the person is an expert, what? You won't do it because it defies your common sense. Your common sense says, hey, it's not a good idea to shock people here. I'm not going to do it. If you're curious, you ask the question, why am I shocking this person? It's an experiment. I don't want to do it. Those are all viable answers. But not if you don't ask the question. Not if you don't ask the question. We need to become like kids because right now, y'all, there ought to be a lot of questions raising up in our head. We ought to have a lot of curiosity about the state of things inside us as well as outside those doors. We ought to look and say, initially, why aren't more people in churches? The numbers are very clear. It's not just our church that feels the pain. It's across the board. Well, the Bible has an answer for that. It really does. But you got to read the thing. We ought to be curious about why it seems like people are getting more and more hostile to one another. Right? Why is that? I can no longer sit in a room, or you maybe, with somebody that stands on the opposite aisle in a political situation. Why is it that we're so easy to dismiss other people? Well, we're not curious. We take what we know, you see, and we think it's everything. And there's the second sin. If we know that apathy works to kill our curiosity, don't miss that pride does as well. Pride tells us what? I know everything already. I don't need to know anything. It's called contempt prior to investigation, is the way I've heard it described. And it is an absolute curiosity killer, but more than that, it's a faith killer. don't go down that road of assuming you know everything and find out you know nothing in the end. Read. If someone has an opinion, instead of reading 15 articles that refute it because that's your side, read two that affirm it. Not because you think they're right, but because you are curious and want to make an informed decision. That's how you work against pride. And when you come into your Bibles, you need to get Genesis 1, 2, and 3 down. That is the beginning for a very clear reason, because in it, it sets up the wonder of God, it sets up His structure, and it sets up the fact that you and I, when given a choice to sin, are going to be a lot of times just like Adam and Eve, unless what? Unless we're curious. I want to tell you that what we see in the Scriptures is a great story of curiosity and how curiosity can completely change our lives and our outlooks. When we come into the biblical story of Zacchaeus, what we meet is a tax collector who's heard the stories of Jesus Christ's miraculous healing and His miraculous feedings. Now again, remember, Zacchaeus, not a particularly well-liked guy. A tax collector was nothing more than a thief. But a thief that was really buying protection from the Romans, and thus they were unassailable. He was hated because he was stealing money from people. He was making them pay taxes they didn't have to pay. And yet the day came and word reached his ears. He was a man short in stature. They said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And Zacchaeus in that moment made a fateful decision, one that I have to believe was entirely inspired by the Holy Spirit. Because Zacchaeus, well, you know, he'd grown lonely. When you sin, when you're eaten up with pride and apathy, when you don't want to help people because you think you're better than them, well, you don't have a lot of friends around you, and that's where Zacchaeus was as well. And so as Jesus comes, him being short of stature, he can't see the man. But his curiosity was not sated by just seeing the procession. He wanted a bird's eye view. So he climbed into a sycamore tree that'll never be forgotten. And he sees Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ sees him. What are you doing in that tree? Curious. Because Jesus knows something. Jesus knows that Zacchaeus is up that tree, but Jesus knows that Zacchaeus is supposed to be somewhere else. That Zacchaeus is supposed to be breaking bread with the Word of God. And so Jesus steps into the equation, and in an instant, Zacchaeus' life has changed. How do we know that? Zacchaeus declares that he's going to give back all the money he's stolen times four, I believe. Four times he's going to give back. Why? Because he got curious and he asked a question. He said simply, why is everybody coming to Jesus Christ? Why is everybody so excited that they're willing to go and stand on a parade route with more people on it perhaps than the Rose Parade does on January 1st? Why? I can tell you why. I'd be happy to tell you why. And in fact, I get paid to declare why over and over and over again, which is good news because I need to hear it over and over and over again. Because what Jesus Christ brought in the power of the Holy Spirit was healing and hope. Healing for our souls, broken, torn asunder by sin, and hope for our future. Not only for ourselves as we dwell richly in the kingdom of God for all eternity, but also for others. Because you know, when you get that you're a sinner and you see other people sin, you get curious, not condemnatory. When you see other people wander down dark and difficult roads, instead of saying, you are messed up, dude, get away from me, it's the Christians that say, what's going on? Because I know you, and I know this isn't of you. So what can I do with you to bring you back to you? That's what a real friend does. That's what a real Christian does. Friends, there is nothing but good that comes from curiosity. First, we're going to be able to know what to stay away from. That's a tough one for kids early on. That's why as parents, we have to be around them. Because we know that touching the hot part of the stove is going to burn, and you should be able to get that just from knowledge. But kids, sometimes they don't. So we stop them from touching the burners. It can also help us see new possibilities when we're curious. You see, as I said, I look out at the world and I say, what is going wrong? What's happened? Not that the 80s were by any means the glorious time that I imagined them out of the lens of nostalgia, but I cannot help but believe there was some more of the things that I know we all appreciate. Things like fellowship, things like agreeing to disagree. There were some good categorical things in the past that we've lost the thread on. But you see, the Christian that is curious wants to ask why. Why did we stop teaching the Bible, even in churches? Why did we stop letting kids or making kids get catechized? Why? It's not working. There are things that do, and we're not doing many of them. So as you look at this world, I pray that you'll get curious. I pray that you'll wonder, what can I do? How can I be of service? How even can I find a little sycamore tree and shimmy up that thing just to get a better view of what God is doing in the world? Mission does that for us. When we come together with brothers and sisters in Christ, we experience the answers. We see why the world is broken, and we know what we are called to do about it. And it's simple stuff, y'all. And it's all in your Bibles. The great good news of having curiosity is that you're not left in a static, dying world. When we start asking the question, why are fewer and fewer people following Jesus Christ, we might not like where the answer takes us, but at least we're moving forward. When we look at the world and say, why is evil seem to be rising and coming to the Bible, we find the answer. We might not find a way out of it, but we sure will find a way to find comfort in it. And when I or you see someone on the side of the road struggling, asking for a handout, and it's easy to turn those requests away. We all know the assumptions. But be curious. Ask why. And even if it's a question just to yourself, ask why and then ask what. Curious people follow that order. Why is it like this? And then what can I do to change it? And when you're like that with the Word of God, then I tell you what, and I declare it loudly. Out there, changes. Better still, in here changes too. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now, as we talked earlier, into a special time. If we need inspiration to really find our curiosity again about God and about the world around us, then this is the place it begins. Right here, the Lord's table. Because what we find is that Jesus has summoned and issued an invitation to everyone. It's His table. It's not ours. And as we, the people of God, celebrate communion and draw nearer and closer to God through the sacrament, what we find is that grace that surpasses all understanding, that peace that reaches down deep into our souls, and we encounter and intersect with none other than Jesus Christ, body and blood, in spirit. So friends, I invite you to come to the table. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that in the beginning that you spoke your powerful word, your spirit hovered upon the waters, and then you declared that there would be light. And from there, you guided everything through its inception and its creation. Heavenly Father, you even created us, taking the dirt from the ground and shaping it into what would be us. You breathed your breath of life in, and it all began. And, oh Lord, that Eden that you had erected for your believers has been precious and has stayed there through the years, oh Lord. Heavenly Father, we just ask that as Adam and Eve and their descendants following, that you might stay with us. Abide with us east of Eden, sharing your Holy Spirit, which brings and makes alive Jesus Christ to us. For we understand that in the fullness of time, Father God, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, born of a woman and yet fathered by you. And he came to make certain that we were fully reconciled to you. And in his atoning life and death and resurrection, we encounter the fullness of you, the fullness of what you've created us to be. So, Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, be alongside this bread and fruit of the vine. Enable it to be the very things that we need, which is your grace, your healing touch, your love. And Heavenly Father, fill us with curiosity today about you. Enable us to ask those questions about you and your Son and the Holy Spirit that will lead us into your holy and wonderful word with one desire, to help. Help ourselves and help this world. We make these prayers concluding with the prayer that Jesus Christ himself taught us praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread, giving it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body. Every time you eat of it, do this in remembrance of me." In much the same way, he took the cup, pouring the wine. He said, "Now, this cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin and the forgiveness of spilling juice everywhere. This cup is the new salvation. This is the way that we encounter Jesus Christ. Every time we drink of it, we do so to his glory. Friends, every time we eat of this loaf and drink of this bread, we proclaim the saving death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, until he comes again in glory. Here at Cook's, we take communion. We'll pass the elements. There are three choices today. Number one is the regular bread. Number two, the pieces that are in the muffin wrapper are gluten-free. And then if you're still feeling cautious because of COVID, we've got the sealed things. Just take your pick. Remembering to hold the elements is here at Cook's. We eat them all together.
Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you fed us in this communion. We thank you, moreover, for the many tender mercies that you've shown us throughout our lives. Thank you for this celebration of your communion, and thank you for the ways in which you move us and those around us to serve you, to love you, and thus to see the world become a brighter place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer as we, having heard the word read and proclaimed, take our prayers to God. We would then typically do an offering, but I can see that I've left time a little long. And so what I'm going to do is make sure that the plates come to the back, and that on your way out, that if you would, if you're called to give, you'd give there. Let us come now into a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice and thank you for new beginnings. We thank you for this beginning of the new week that you've now brought us to worship, to experience your wonder. And Heavenly Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that wonder might turn to curiosity, not about the things of this world, but about you, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we also ask and pray that you would open our eyes to see what we need to see. Allow us to see the hurt and the sadness in this world, and ask the question, what can I do to help? Heavenly Father, in this space of hurt and brokenness, in this world of sin, there are the things that we don't like. There are the things that are fearsome and terrify our soul. And yet, O Lord, your word isn't that they will be somehow gone in this time and place, but instead that you would give us comfort and strength through it. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask for comfort and strength for all of those who are sick, or grieving, or lonely, or anxious, just as we continue to pray for the members of this church who find themselves, their names, or the names of their loved ones on it. Heavenly Father, surround all of these individuals in your watch care, providing for each exactly what they need. Enable us, O Father God, to be the watchers of the world and to watchers over our flock, so that when we see trouble, that instead of condemning, we might act with compassion. Prepare us, O Lord, send us, O Lord, and awaken us as we take each and every step towards your great and glorious destiny, the kingdom of God in which there's no weeping or sickness or sadness or death, and that all believers across all the ages will celebrate and rejoice the fullness that is in Jesus Christ, given to us through your Holy Spirit and made possible through the creative act of the Father. We make all these prayers to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, as we depart, I want to let you know that I actually went back and saw my big fat Greek wedding a second time. My wife made me do it. And what I found, what I found is, no, it's not Caddyshack. No, it's not Stripes. No, it's not Animal House. But what it is heartwarming. It's good. I heard funny, but I interpreted it the way I wanted to. The friends, I'm afraid so many of us do that with our relationship with Jesus Christ and the Word. Until we really know and experience Jesus, until we really know and study and take knowledge in His Word, we're just like that. We come into it with our thoughts about what it is and what it's going to say, and that's the end of the game. Come like a child into your Word. Come like a child into your relationship with the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.